Hello and welcome to SG Voice Talks 2, brought to you by Sustainable Growth Voice, part of DC Thompson. In our fortnightly episodes, we interview individuals who are contributing to the sustainable economy or disrupting the status quo. I am Giulia Bottaro, news editor at SG Voice, and this week I am joined by Chris Bryson, founder and chief executive of New School Foods. Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Julia. It's a pleasure to be here.
Would you like to start by telling us a bit about the company and what you do?
Sure, I'd be happy to. New School Foods is a plant-based meat alternative company that was started back in 2021. And our entire focus is on creating what we see as the next generation or the next evolution of plant-based meats, which are specifically called whole cuts. So if you think about whole cuts, that's a fillet of salmon or it's like a steak. So we've developed a completely new technology in order to create whole cuts and bring that to market. And the first product that we're making is a fillet of salmon that is designed to look, cook, taste, and flake just like the real thing.
So just to understand, it looks raw when you get it. And then as you cook it, it looks cooked like real salmon.
Exactly. And that was actually one of the big feature requirements when we started our research in terms of looking for new processing technologies, because our belief was that is exactly what the consumer is going to expect. When you go to the grocery store and you buy a whole cut, it's served raw and it has that transition. So if you don't have that feature, if you will, then you're creating a cooking experience that is going to feel strange. So it was very important for us to prioritize, in terms of developing this new technology, a way to create a product that when you cook it feels the same.
So is this in order to convince more people to switch to a plant-based diet?
Well, what we're trying to effectively do is create behavior change. We're trying to make behavior change easier, because if you look at the food industry is unfortunately responsible for about 20 to 25% of greenhouse gas emissions. So it's a major contributor to climate change, and changing your diet is very difficult. I've done it and I know how difficult it can be. And so what we want to do is we want to make that transition, even if it's a small transition, it doesn't have to be your entire diet, but we want to make it easier and more attractive to be able to pick up some of these alternatives, because a lot of these alternatives feel sort of like a compromise. So if we can create alternatives that feel more like an upgrade instead of a downgrade, then we think we can create a more sustainable food system with lower greenhouse gas emissions.
Would your product count as lab-grown fish?
It would not. So today, the entire product is plant-based. There's some pretty interesting technology that we've developed to really recreate the muscle fibers and the connective tissue, but all of the ingredients are plant-based. And that's in order to ensure that the pricing can be affordable and that the scalability is there so that we can actually serve a large audience.
I think that, you know, with the landscape of alternative protein, sometimes it might be a little confusing, because some products are quite clearly, you know, in the shape of maybe a sausage or a burger, but are not. And then there is, you know, the whole discourse around lab-grown meat. So does this mean that your salmon is then, from a food safety perspective, good to go?
Yeah, a big focus for us was using ingredients that are already approved. And obviously, each country is different from a regulatory perspective. But it was very important for us to focus on an ingredient list that was going to allow us to get to market in a relatively short period of time. Because our mission as a company is to help accelerate the transition to a sustainable food system. And if we have to spend years waiting for regulatory approval, then that means we're going to have less impact. So it was very important for us, like you said, to sort of focus on ingredients that are already approved.
So at the moment as a company, what are your plans, your next steps?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we're about 2.5 years old as a company. We've been really focusing the last couple of years on creating a really incredible product. And we think we're getting quite close to market. So our intention is to launch the product next year. We started doing private tastings with members of the press, with some of our investors, with different chefs. We've been collaborating a lot with chefs in order to get early feedback. And so we're both finalizing that you know, the product itself, the first product. And we're also in the midst of building out a pilot production facility. So because we've developed this completely new production process, which is very exciting and we think is a way to create a better product, because of that new process, we've had to develop our own pilot facility. So we're midway through construction. We're dealing with all kinds of wonderful construction projects, and that's going to allow us to bring the product to market next year.
So you are based in Canada, and then will the product be launched in Canada?
Oh, Yes. So that's a question we get very often. Our focus is to actually launch the product in the US through restaurants in a few select markets. So major cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco, and New York. We intend to also launch in Toronto at the same time, if possible. But the US is our primary focus. But it would be nice to also be able to, you know, go to a local restaurant and try out our own product. So so we're looking to do that as well.
Why are you starting with restaurants?
So a couple reasons. One is that when we're working with restaurants, we have the ability to act faster in terms of responding to feedback. So by working with chefs, we can get a lot of data. And then by working with chefs who are selling it to their customers, we can also hear what they think. And the goal for us is to not just launch a product and be done and walk away. We want to keep making the product better and better. And so the more information, the more feedback that we get, the better the product we can create. So we want to be able to keep that active innovation an ongoing part of our business, even after we launched the first version. The second reason, I think, is based on data and results. If we look at some of the companies that have launched plant-based meats before, the ones that have been more successful have typically started by working with culinary experts. And I think that's because if you can convince a chef that it's worth putting your product on their menu, then you've gained their credibility. And that acts as a filter for customers. Customers are going to trust the opinion of the chef, you know, the non-biased party, more so than you know, what we say about the product. So if we can convince a chef to put it on the menu, we think that customers are more likely to be excited. One other reason I think I would add to that is that a lot of the plant-based meat products that are sold today are sold as breaded, or they're sold kind of already seasoned. It's like a TV dinner. It's already finished, right? What we're trying to create is really the raw product that you can use as an ingredient to cook in many different ways. So by working with chefs and restaurants, we're giving them a product that has the freedom to be cooked in a variety of different ways. It can be cooked in an oven, can be cooked in a frying pan, it can be cooked via acid. So you can actually create a ceviche with our product. So this gives us the freedom to allow the chefs to experiment, to create new kinds of dishes. And so we're really, really excited about working with chefs because who knows what they're going to create.
That sounds really exciting and sensible at the same time. So, and why the US then and not Canada?
The US tends to be where people look for in terms of the new vegan products or the new plant-based products that are coming out. A lot of the plant-based products are typically launched in markets like Los Angeles in the US. So it's really to demonstrate that we're intending to be a global company, not a Canadian company. So the US is obviously not where we're going to stop. In fact, a lot of the data is indicating that there is much more interest and favorable adoption of plant-based products in Europe. So we'd like to find a way to get to Europe sooner rather than later. But obviously, by starting with the US, which is a larger market than Canada, it's about 10 times the size, we can start to build some momentum before we head over to Europe.
Okay, I see. And can we take a step back maybe and talk about the technology?
Sure. So I'm so excited about this. We've been working for... So when we started as a company, we were a little bit different in the sense that it wasn't, you know, two scientists in a garage working until they figured something out. We started out in a bit of a different way in the sense that when I founded the company, I had spent the last 2 years working as an angel investor in the space. And so I was looking for new technologies that could create whole cut alternatives, that could create seafood alternatives, really the parts of the market that hadn't yet been addressed. And I just found that there wasn't enough research and development going on. I found that most of the companies that were raising capital at the time, this is back in 2019 or 2020, I found that most of the companies were not being encouraged by investors to invest in R&D. A lot of investors at the time wanted people to launch into the market as quickly as possible because back in 2019, plant-based meat was all the rage. And so I think a lot of research and development opportunities were skipped over. So New School Foods was started as a way to invest at first in various different research projects. So when the company was founded, what we did that was a bit different, we didn't go look for a CTO immediately. What we did is we went to the world's best food science universities and we said, we're going to be funding 6 different projects. So we would fund your academic research for 12 months. Send us your proposals. And we got some proposals from some of the best food science universities in the world, in Europe, in the US, and Canada. And we picked the ones that we were the most excited about. And so we completely expected all those research projects, you know, they might not find anything, they might not discover anything novel. That's kind of what we expected. But in the event that one of these projects discovered something exciting, something novel, then we would turn that into a company. And coming to your question, one of those projects focused entirely on how to create muscle fibers from plants. So today there's really only one scaled up technology that can do that. It's a food processing technology called extrusion. And one of the problems with extrusion is that it uses heat in order to create muscle fibers or texture. So you end up with a product that looks pre-cooked. And we talked about this before. We talked about how whole cuts are sold raw, right? So the problem with extrusion is you'd never be able to get something that looks like raw meat that then transitions, that is like shiny or semi-translucent before. So what was really exciting about this technology is that they focused on kind of the opposite of extrusion. Instead of using heat in order to create texture, they used cold, super cold technologies in order to create muscle fibers. So what we effectively do is we start by creating these gels. We start to create, it's kind of like a jello that's using plant-based or seaweed-based, actually, ingredients. So we create almost like a plant-based jello, and then we freeze it, but we freeze it directionally. And so when you freeze something directionally, let's say I put this plant-based seaweed block on a very cold surface, it will freeze from the bottom to the top. And when you do that, we're able to tune the system so that it restructures the gel and forms what's called a scaffold. And then that scaffold can be sort of like a sponge. You can fill it up with different proteins and fats and flavors and colors. So that's at a very high level kind of how our technology works. We basically create these scaffolds using a cold-based technology, and then we're able to infuse it with all kinds of different ingredients.
Well, it sounds incredibly fascinating. And so if you freeze it during preparation, then can you freeze it once you buy it, like when it will go in the shops eventually?
Yes. So we're preparing the product so it can even be shipped frozen, so that our customers, whether that's the restaurant or eventually the grocery store, can receive it in a frozen state, which will extend shelf life. I'm guessing that because you can freeze it, or that we would be selling it frozen again, that the customer could also put it in their freezer and freeze it themselves as well.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Chris. We're all looking forward to try the fake salmon. That is it for this episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks. If you want more SG Voice, you can visit us at sgvoice.net or follow us on LinkedIn for the latest stories. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter to get the latest sustainability news and insights straight to your inbox. All of the links needed are in the show notes. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Chris, for being with us today.